Hi, welcome to James Miller Lifeology, where you learn to simplify and transform your spirit, mind, and body. My name is James Miller. I'm a licensed psychotherapist and a composer. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Let's get started. I wanted to take just a quick moment to thank you all who continually support and listen to James Miller Lifeology. I have been so blessed and honored by your continual support. I wanted to make sure that you don't miss out on anything exciting that's happening over here. So make sure you sign up for my free newsletter at jamesmillerlifeology.com. I have a great show for you today. I'm going to help you realize your past has prepared you for your future. I'll also be interviewing retired athlete Drew Westervelt, who teaches you how being a professional athlete prepared him for being a successful entrepreneur. I have some exciting news. Did you know that I'm on the radio 3 times a week? You may hear me on the same station on Tuesdays at 1:30 p.m., Fridays at 9:30 a.m., and Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. You may also hear me anytime on iHeartRadio as well as on all the other major podcasting platforms, including iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and many others. Simply search for the show name, James Miller Lifeology. Are you struggling today to find your purpose? Has mediocrity set in and you can't imagine doing the same thing for the rest of your life? Are your relationships struggling or you aren't sure how to make long-lasting changes in your life? Then today, contact me, James Miller. I will help you recognize the areas in your life that are going really well, and then we'll look at the areas in which you are struggling. We will create actionable solutions to help you create long-lasting changes in your life. You don't have to do this alone. Go to my website, jamesmillerlifeology.com, and click on the page Work with James. Fill out the form and it will be sent directly to me. Don't let another day go by without finding your way. Your change can start today. Once again, go to my website, jamesmillerlifeology.com, and click on the page Work with James. Fill out that form to get started today. Prepared for your future. Many of us think there's no way we can accomplish certain goals that we have. We look at really successful people around us and think there's no way I could ever do that because I'm not like those people. Everybody had to start somewhere. When you look at the most successful person you know, they started with nothing. Yes, certain people may have different backgrounds as far as financial gain, but we all had to start somewhere. We all have to look within ourselves to say, what is my certain skill set? Many of us think we don't have a skill set. But when you really think about who you are and the lessons you've learned in life, you'll realize you have so much more going for you than you realize. I once heard a true story of this man who came up to a famous speaker, and he told the famous speaker that he sold drugs for a living. He was very honest. And he said, I don't want to do this anymore, but I don't know how to do anything else. And this really famous speaker said to the young man, you're selling yourself too short. Don't you realize that what you do selling drugs is actually just like a manager? And he proceeded to give examples like this. You have to get the word out about your product. That's advertising. You have to take care of your customers. That's customer service. You have to ensure your product. That's product development. You have to know when to sell. That's a management decision. So when you think of it in that respect, we all do certain things in our everyday life, which are very similar to many of the skills we have to learn once we move up higher in the type of work we want to do. Now, of course, education is very important, but it's important for you to realize that what you've learned in life, what you currently do, is preparing you for your future. Look at the people around you. Who's the most successful person you personally know? When you look at them, what are some similarities that you both have? Look at your character. Are you both honest? Are you both compassionate? Are you both benevolent? When you can look at those similarities, you'll realize that the foundational piece of who you are is very similar to that successful person. We're going to hear a great interview in just a few minutes with retired athlete Drew Westervelt. He's going to share how being a professional athlete prepared him to be a successful entrepreneur. So this is a really good example of how you can look at your own life and say, well, I've done these certain things, and perhaps what I've learned in my past are things I can implement in my future. So the biggest lesson today is to realize you're much closer to becoming the person you want to become. The skill set you've learned thus far is preparing you for the next step in your life. So it's up to you to determine when you're going to take that step. But if you're insecure about who you are today, you're selling yourself short. There's so much more going for you in life. You simply have to take that next step, and you'll find you already have all the skill set you need for the next chapter of your life. Did you know I have a YouTube channel? That's actually how Lifeology started. I have well over 155 episodes that I've created specifically for you. I do know that many people struggle with listening to a full 30-minute show. So these episodes are about 3 minutes long. Each episode will give you a practical tool or technique that you can practice daily to help you simplify and transform your spirit, mind, and body. Simply go to my website, jamesmillerlifeology.com, or go to YouTube and search for my name, James Miller Lifeology. My guest today is Drew Westervelt, a 9-year professional lacrosse player who has traveled the world competing and performing at the highest level. In 2014, he became an entrepreneur and business owner. He is going to share his story of success with us today. Welcome to my show, Drew.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm really excited to hear about this. It's so interesting. I always love being the host of the show. It's great because I get so many different types of guests. And so it's going to be awesome to hear your story as a professional athlete and how you turned to business owner. So thanks once again for joining with us.
Great. No problem.
No, so 9 years as a professional lacrosse player, how would that be? I mean, because obviously as most kids, and I'm totally going to stereotype here, a lot of kids want to be a professional athlete. How did that actually come about for you?
You know, it's interesting. So, you know, growing up, I played a ton of different sports, whether it was individual sports like tennis, soccer, basketball, lacrosse, golf, all kinds of stuff. I love playing sports and being competitive. That was something I excelled in. Uh-huh. School was a challenge for me. So I'm dyslexic, actually. So that was a challenge in my younger years, but really I view it as a blessing now. But, you know, for me, it was, played a lot of sports in my youth, played, you know, 3 sports in high school, and then had the opportunity to play collegiate lacrosse.
Wow.
And after collegiate lacrosse, there's 2 professional leagues, an indoor league named the MLL and the outdoor league, an indoor league named the NLL and the outdoor league named the MLL. So I ended up playing 9 years in both of those leagues. One's winter, one's summer. And then, in 2010, I played on the U.S. national team. So
wow.
Post-college, you know, lacrosse was an awesome and really enjoyable piece of my life. But you know, the challenge with up and coming long tail sports is, you know, or niche sports like lacrosse is it's not a full-time job.
Mm.
So for me, it was, work during the week, fly out somewhere in US and Canada and play a game Saturday night, fly home Sunday and go back to work Monday. You know, it sounds like a lot, but it was just my routine and I loved it because for many years I spent the weekends with my best friends. So
that's really cool. Yeah, that's a great way to look at it as well. I mean, obviously was not my background, but to hear that you'd have to do it all the time, someone who obviously hasn't experienced that would think, man, it feels like you've missed out on so many other things, but it sounds like if they're your best friends, I mean, gosh, how wonderful is that to be able to travel the world that way?
It was great. Trips to Japan, Prague, the US and Canada, we did a lot of that. So that was incredible experiences. I did miss some of my, you know, high school buddies' weddings and stuff, which
sure.
was not favorable. But, you know, for me, it was an opportunity to keep playing a sport mm-hmm. I loved. It was a supplemental income, but, you know, I think the lacrosse as a sport has huge upside. You know, much like a lot of other leagues have grown significantly that are more niche sports in, mm-hmm. in the recent.
You know, one thing I always like to ask, you know, professional athletes is knowing that there may become a time when you can't play anymore for whatever reason. How is it for you once the end of your tour, if you will, how is that for you knowing that it was coming up?
To be honest, for me is I was ready for it to be finished.
Okay.
For me, I hate saying this, but the truth is I didn't want to get on the flight anymore.
Mm.
And the competitive edge I once had diminished. And at that point, I knew it was something for me to move on from. Like I was an offensive player. So for the majority of my career, I wanted the ball at the end of the game.
Yeah.
I wanted to be there. And for a number of reasons, and towards the last year of my career, my mind was moving more towards being an entrepreneur and starting a business and doing my attention drifted that way. And the competitive edge, my competitiveness moved that way. Away from the lacrosse field, which was very weird experience.
Hmm.
But for me, it wasn't like, oh, I don't miss it. I had an incredible experience with it, but I don't miss it. And I was ready to transition.
Well, I think that's a great point. When we recognize that many things in our life are seasonal as opposed to long-term. I mean, obviously relationships are going to be long-term, but sometimes the business ventures that we have are short-term. And sometimes there's many things that we're not able to endure them for whatever reason. So I think it's really important when we can kind of look at life as sometimes temporal or sometimes as long-term. And when you can put the different experiences in those different categories, allows us to let go to have something new transform us in, a new venture in our life. What was your career during the week when you were not traveling?
Yeah, so I think this was also interesting. So I worked for the energy company in Baltimore. And, you know, so I was a project manager and in charge of some of the large scale construction projects, like predominantly the gas construction projects or renovations within the city. And it was a great job. I just didn't have a passion for it. I really did not have a passion for putting gas main in the ground and managing those projects. So for me, it was a great main career and income mm-hmm. source that allowed me the flexibility to play lacrosse. When I realized that I wanted to move away from lacrosse and I was working there, I was playing lacrosse and also starting some of this thoughts or ideating from an entrepreneurial perspective. You know, I really was energized in the entrepreneurial space and felt like it was just an opportunity for me to, when I stopped that job, I was in my late 20s. So, you know, I said, you know, if I fall flat on my face, I fall flat on my face and I'll figure this out. But for me, it was, I didn't look forward to Monday, and that was the problem.
Yeah. But, you know, I think going back to what I said earlier, when you put things in perspective, you can recognize that your full-time job, you know, working at the gas company, was more about paying your bills, perhaps giving you insurance. And so we can look at it for what it is, as opposed to I'm thriving in other areas. This current thing, it's not going to last forever, but I understand why I'm doing it. When I understand the motivation for why I do something, it helps me put a little more energy into it until the next thing that's important in my life or next thing that's going to come about my life comes to play. So I think it is important for everybody to say, well, why am I doing this? You know, if you're in business to pay for your kids' college, well, then that's the motivator for why you go to work. It doesn't mean you have to like it, but you understand the reason for it. So it sounds like for you, that was a good transition for you to finally say, okay, now I want to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah, I think I was fortunate in that I wasn't married at the time. I didn't have a family. I just bought a house. I had a mortgage and a car payment. And aside from that, I was willing to take the risk of, you know, I have a lot of energy at the time and still do, and passion for what I was had in my head and was creating, and had enough, I had enough signs pointing that it wasn't a terrible idea, but it was willing to assume the risk.
Sure, exactly. How did you go then from the just decide that I'm going to be an entrepreneur? How did you wake up one day and like, you know what, I'm doing this 100%?
I think it just built over about a year and a half time frame of where, like I mentioned, I had my full-time job. I was traveling every weekend. And one thing that I was reading about and one thing that I kept getting fascinated with, it wasn't laundry detergent. Mm-hmm. It was, I was looking for products to clean, disinfect, and protect athletic facilities. So that could be turf, weight rooms, training rooms, locker rooms, equipment, all kinds of things. The turf that I played on was rolled out, so an indoor. We would play in, I played in Colorado for a number of years in Philadelphia, but in Colorado, we would play like the Colorado Avalanche would have an NHL game at a matinee game at noon, and we'd play at 7 p.m. So they'd roll the turf out over the ice. We'd play on it, and you'd sweat. If you fell on that turf, you'd cut your knees, you'd be bloody. It was just not a good surface. And then it'd just be rolled up and stored to the next game.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, putting that, my real life experiences, you know, we're playing in really sweaty equipment that's never cleaned.
Goodness.
You know, all these different athletes coming in and out of a facility. Mm-hmm. So I started thinking more and more about, and my tunnel vision at the time was very sports related.
Sure. You know, I always think it's so interesting because so many people have, you know, when you look around in your life, I mean, that's really where inventions come from. What makes the most sense for me in my own life? And for you, obviously, you're falling down, you're cutting your knees up, and realizing, crap, I've got to roll around in this later. You know, and that whole concept of, I don't want MRSA, I don't want to get sick. And I always love to hear how people really look at their life. And, you know, anyone listening right now can look at their own life and say, what is the need that I have? There was Norman Vincent Peale wrote the most powerful or most well-known self-help book. And his biggest thing was, you find a need and you fill it. Well, and you look everywhere in your life, you find that need, and there's so many needs, and you fill it with something. And so that's really how all this is specifically for you has come about, where you have such a successful company right now as well.
Yep.
How do you think that being a professional athlete really helped you be a CEO? I mean, I know you've talked about five different life lessons that your athleticism or organized sports has really taught you. Why don't we go through some of those and really help us understand, you know, for my listeners as well, who some of them may be an athlete now, or maybe in school you were an athlete, but kind of really helping them understand how they can make that transition themselves should they want to become an entrepreneur.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I've really departed from athletics. Mm-hmm. This has just filled the void. Like, the same keys of preparation and things that are necessary to be a successful athlete are very similar to the same things for us to, not that I figured it out from a business perspective, but it's just like when you're lifting weights, you want to fail and you want to fail quicker so that you can get better. Mm-hmm. So for us, it's how do we learn what works, what doesn't work? Let's fail as many times as possible so that when we come out of that, we're more effective and we're not repeating these same errors. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's not like, hey, we create this product and it just goes gangbusters. I mean, behind it is all those different things of how you find who has an affinity for what you do, how you explain it, how does it look, all those things. You know, I don't think depart much from how an individual or a team functions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, let's parse some of that out. I know the first thing you talked about was being prepared. Help us understand that. I mean, obviously we don't understand what preparation is, but help us understand how that really made sense for you as a teammate in preparing for your games.
Yeah, for me, I mean, you know, a lot of it goes back to when you're preparing for a game or any, whether it's your individual preparation or your team preparation, you're understanding, you know, what you're going after. That could be, you know, your opponent. For us, it could be what does the category look like now? Where are we different, and where do we have a place to fit in and win? Mm-hmm. So for us, it's no different than when I was an athlete. Of, you know, I was an attackman. My job was to produce points, whether that was a goal or an assist. If I was on defense, that was a bad thing. Right. Yeah. So like for me, it's understanding what we can win at and concentrating on that. And for me right now, it's people who live an active lifestyle, who sweat, mm-hmm. and who are looking for a solution for this wardrobe they have that they haven't found. So for me, I'm not looking to be the next best laundry detergent that everyone buys for everything. Can it be that? Yes. But I'm going after a very specific target, much mm-hmm. like I would every individual on your team would be prepared to basically execute their role.
Yeah. Well, obviously the more information you have, you know, just even watching some of the scrimmages that your opponents have had, or just even understanding who the players are and what their strengths are and yep. what their areas of deficit are, that really helps you. I mean, it kind of goes back to the 80-20 principle as well, is, you know, really qualifying who are the people that are the game changers and who are the people who maybe are the auxiliary people. So kind of understanding sure. that in your own business is, well, 20% of these people are the ones who have the money or my market niche. So really understanding that as well helps you mm-hmm. become more prepared. So I can really see that using your skill set on the field and how that really makes sense in the boardroom as well.
Yeah. I want 1,000 people. I'd rather have 1,000 people that love my product than mm-hmm. 10,000 that think it's okay. Yeah. I want, cause those 1,000 people will amplify and will be your advocates. Yes. So that's exactly right.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And the second thing you talked about before is being persistent. How did that help you? How did that help you become the successful entrepreneur you are?
I think you know, when you read most articles, all you see is the fluff, right? Mm-hmm. All you see is successful conversations. Where in the background, 95% of what's going on is the failures, is the negative conversations mm-hmm. of internally you think you're going up this, you know, steep hill. For us, it's much like, and I equate it back to sports, is I hated working out. I hated it. I never liked training, but I knew I had to.
Yeah.
And that's also a reason I didn't play more years than I probably could have, because I didn't have the urge to get in the gym to do what I needed to do. And I wanted to do something else. Mm-hmm. So for me with business, just like sports, is a lot of things are just keep on going. You just got to keep going. And as like I said, you're going to fail more often than you succeed. So what can you get out of those failures that instead of saying, oh man, this is not going to happen, saying, hey, how do we move forward? How do we just be persistent and keep this going? Because at the end of the day, and you think that, I think that's the biggest opportunity for entrepreneurs mm-hmm. is, I mean, a lot of it's challenge. There's more challenges than successes. So it's more just saying, how do I keep this going?
Yeah. Well, you know, you think about like just even the, you read about different successful people. Well, you read about the success. You don't read about all the no's they got or all the what was perceived as failure, all the setbacks or all the tears that they cried at night. We don't hear about that. We just hear, wow, this person is this really successful person. So mm-hmm. we don't really know the origin story, what happens behind the scene. We just see the polished product.
I think it's just turning challenges into growth, right? Mm-hmm. Like instead of harping on the negativity, harp on what you can get out of it.
Yes, exactly. And what's a lesson that comes out of it as well.
Right.
So we have just a couple more minutes, but so trust your team. Tell us more about that.
Yeah. I mean, as much as we try and internalize and do it all, it just doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for us, it's really trying to set metrics and goals for the team that allow them to go be their own entrepreneur and think critically and stay within the framework of what we're trying to do and our goals and our sales plan and such, but really trusting in their ability to just forward think and execute, right? Like for us, we're a small team. I mean, we have a lot of partners that make us bigger, or support systems through agencies and such. But internally, we're a very small team, and we trust each other to complete our roles. And I think that's what it's all about.
Yeah, exactly. Well, exactly, because I think not everybody is an expert in their field. And so surrounding yourself with those experts allows you to be much more successful yourself.
Right.
Ask for feedback and listen.
This is probably the toughest, right? You know, it's tough to hear what you don't want to hear.
Sure.
And for me, it's like watching film. I hate watching film because it exposes all the negatives that you did in the game. Yeah, you had 3 goals, but you had 6 turnovers, right? And you don't want to watch the turnovers. You just want to watch the highlight reel. So for me, I equate watching film with looking at real data. Data doesn't lie. Mm-hmm. So for us, and what I like to look at now is, beautiful or ugly, it is what it is. And it goes back to all the previous things we talked about. It may not be what I want now, but how do I get it to where I want it? Mm-hmm. And what's the path between that? Where did we fail and where can we succeed? So for me, feedback and listen, it's challenging because, you know, as a startup or as an entrepreneur, you believe you want to insert your opinion and that's the opinion. Well, you just got to sit back and listen and kind of take it all in and maybe sometimes have not the last word, but digest that before you spit out what you believe is gospel. So for us, it's just, you know, for me, it's feedback and listens a lot like watching film, you know, being able to take criticism and really looking at game film and or data to say, hey, what's the right decision? Hey, some of this stuff, you know, may sound like fluff and look great, but we may need to walk away from that customer. Maybe that's not the best place for us to be. And that's sometimes challenging.
Yeah, I think it really can be. But I also like to think of it in this respect as well, is something in our life, the feedback we get or criticism we may have, whatever it is it a stumbling block or a stepping stone? Do we use it to launch ourselves forward, or do we allow it to perhaps halt us and stop us from being the person or becoming the company that we know we could become?
Yeah, sometimes internally we try and ask, what other people, like what are on my team, what do you guys think? Because I can't dictate how people feel, right? The way they feel is the way they feel. Mm-hmm. So if they're articulating that to me, I can't say they're wrong.
Yeah.
Right? They're not wrong. It's how they feel. So mm-hmm. it's how do we flip the funnel there and make it productive?
Exactly. And the last one before we wrap up is lead, don't follow.
Yeah, this is funny. This is from like my childhood, and that's something my dad always said. So I just love that saying. I think it's as a young athlete, or for me, a lot of my confidence came from sports versus academics. Mm-hmm. So one thing my dad always said was lead, don't follow, right? Like for me, it's always been, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to be the captain of the team. It just means you have to lead by example. So mm-hmm. for, you know, in college, if we weren't winning games, can I put in extra work? Can I lead by my actions versus my words of saying, hey, I had 5 opportunities to put the ball in the net last game and I only put it in once. Why am I missing those opportunities? Am I preparing? Can I get out in between class and college and get shots in before practice? So for me, I just love the lead, don't follow, because it's so simple but so true of just, you know, you lead by action, not by words. And I think really believing that you can be a leader is like the first step to maybe taking a leap of being an entrepreneur.
But I think also it's also you're leading yourself. You're leading yourself to be the best you. In order to do that, you have to step out and do something that perhaps other people aren't doing as well. Yeah.
Sure.
Well, Drew Westervelt, thank you so much for being a guest on my show today. If my listeners would like to find out more information about you and about your amazing company, where would they find this information online?
Yeah, so check us out. It's hexperformance.com. And all of our social handles are at hexperformance. So, you know, I really appreciate the time, and hopefully someone had got something out of this that's helpful.
Yes, I'm sure they did. Thank you once again for your time. We really appreciate it.
Thanks.
I also want to thank you, the listener, for tuning in today. Please subscribe to this radio show through whichever portal you joined with us today, or please go to my website where you may sign up for my free newsletter, watch my YouTube episodes, read the articles I've written specifically for you, or you may enroll in the Lifeology Academy where you can take self-directed courses which will help you simplify and transform your spirit, mind, and body. If you'd like to personally work with me, be a guest on, or advertise in this show, simply visit jamesmillerlifeology.com. Be sure to follow me on all social media platforms under the name James Miller Lifeology, except for Twitter, which is James M. Lifeology. Once again, thank you so much for your support, and I'll talk to you soon.